Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, we see Moses here. Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee." This is Exodus 4, following the events in chapter 3, when God appeared to Moses in a burning bush that was not engulfed. It was not burning up. It was a bush that was on fire that was not burning. And God spoke to Moses in Exodus 3 and says, "I want you to go to the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, and tell him to let my people go." God's people, the Israelites, were in slavery in Egypt, being just toiled mercilessly. And Moses, who God had rescued, and it's a whole long story, and protected, when all the other Hebrew babies were being killed in Egypt back in the Old Testament, God protected Moses for such a time as this, for a purpose. And God appears to Moses in Exodus 3 and says, "I want you to go to Pharaoh, go to the man, this bad dude, and tell him to let my people go." And we get to Exodus 4, and Moses is nervous. And that's what we just saw in first one. He says, "What if Pharaoh doesn't listen to me?" Look at verse 2. "And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom, into your cloak. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow," this severe skin disease of leprosy now on his hand. "And he said in verse 7, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh." It was healed immediately. Verse 8, "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river," the Nile River there in Egypt, "and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land." We're talking about obeying God this morning, and sometimes what that looks like and what that feels like. And we're going to use this passage to break it down a little bit. So let's pray together. I'll ask God to bless. You ask God to speak to your heart. We'll jump right in. Father God, we love you. We thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for your people. Thank you for this church. Thank you for keeping the weather away from us today, God. Lord, keep all those, Lord, I have pastor friends down south in the Carolinas that are getting hit real bad today. Keep them safe and their people at their churches. And Lord, we ask you just to bless Coastline, bless our Vision Sunday next week, and bless today's service in the sermon. Give me your power as I preach. Help me to preach from my heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. There's a little song that I used to sing growing up in Sunday school in the kids' class. And if you grew up in church at all, you probably sung or heard this song, Obedience. Obedience is the very best way. You ever heard it, Darren? Probably not. To show that you believe, doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Anyone recognize it at all? I hope no one does, besides my family who grew up in the same church. Yeah, baby. Baptist, baby. Yeah. Action is the key. Do it immediately. This is a great song for parents, by the way. They love this song. The joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And that's actually a pretty good line. Pretty good. Whoever wrote that, good lyric. And then you spell it because it's a kid song. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And the crowd says, thank you, Marissa. My God. Thanks, Darren. But now I know you're just patronizing me, so... But that's a song I sung growing up, and apparently I remember it well. Obedience. As parents, we try to teach our kids obedience. We want them to follow what we say. We want them to follow the rules that we put in place to protect them and to help them. We have rules. We want them to obey. The scriptures talk about, yes, children obeying their parents, but also people that work a job, listening to their boss and the rules of their job, and on and on. Number one, obeying what God says. What God tells us to do in His Word, obeying that. Here in Exodus 4, Moses is standing on holy ground. We see it in chapter 3. God says, remove your sandals, you're standing on holy ground. Moses is standing on holy ground, yet we still see him in chapter 4 full of fear. God has called him. God has protected him from his birth. God has commissioned him and promised his presence. Yet Moses still asks a question of God in chapter 4 that many of us ask something similar, and we're asking it even in 2026 in this new year. Exodus 4:1, Moses said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. In response, we see that God does not rebuke Moses, even though Moses is really struggling right now with his faith. God is right there. God says, go and do this. Let my people go. I'm going to take care of you. And Moses is still like, yeah, but what if they don't believe me? What if they just say, oh, God hasn't spoken to you? What? And we live that same way. God gives Moses three signs, not just to convince Pharaoh or Israel, those who were in slavery, but to assure Moses that God would be with him. And these three signs that we see, the serpent and the leprous hand and the water into blood, they teach us something. They teach us that when we follow God's call, when you follow God's call on your life, obedience to that call is rarely easy, but God is always present. God is always with you. We see in the first miracle sign that God gives to Moses, number one, obeying God sometimes is scary. Obeying God sometimes is scary. Exodus 4, 2 through 4. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he had a rod, a staff in his hand. And God said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, a snake. And Moses fled from before it. How many of you, if you saw a big snake on the ground, would flee from it? Let's be honest. Thank you, okay? And Moses is just like us. He's like, holy cow, that's a snake. God is right there with him. He's like, I'm out of here. But God says to Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. How many of you, even if God himself in a burning bush said, hey, you see that big giant snake on the ground? I want you to grab its tail. Okay? How many of you would struggle with that? Come on, let's be realistic here. Me too. I could tell you a snake story right now, but some of you probably would call PETA on me. Okay? I don't like snakes. People that own snakes as pets, I'm praying for you. If you're in the room today, I don't dislike you. I have a lot of respect for you, but that would freak me out, man. You know, read the stories about snakes getting out, and then they're like, oh, I lost my snake. I'm like, how do you lose your snake, man? That's crazy. Moses is here. And he throws his rod down, turned into a snake, and I'm sure it was just as big as the staff that he had, so it's huge, and he runs from it, freaked out. God says, pick it up by the tail. And he does, he obeys God, and it became a staff again in his hand. God asked Moses to do something unnatural, illogical, terrifying. Listen, snakes, it's not like they had a bunch of doctors there. In Egypt, they're deadly. Picking up by the tail is the worst thing you could do. Moses had to move toward, listen, Moses had to move toward what scared him. And yet God said, I want you to take it. Obedience often requires, church, listen, obedience in your life and in my life often requires stepping into uncertainty, stepping into some risk, stepping into a fear of failure. What if this doesn't work? or fear of loss, or fear of what might happen next. And God does not always remove that fear or that uncertainty or that risk. No, but he calls us to trust him through it. Do you really think that 6.5-7 years ago, when I felt God calling us to the Cape to plant this church, that I wasn't nervous or stressed out or scared? Because I was. I'll tell you, when I was still in Michigan and we were beginning to make plans to move, I wasn't that scared. When we started traveling the country, collecting support from other churches across the country to plant this church, I wasn't that scared. I was thinking ahead. But when we got closer to when we were supposed to move out here and I couldn't find a place to live and I didn't know where we were going to meet, and I started to be like, oh, wait, people actually have to come to the church. Like, my family's going to come, I hope. But then others have to come too. I got to find a way. And it started to really freak me out. COVID didn't help, since we started 6 months before that, or 3 months before that, rather. And there, it was scary, a lot. When we got into this building, by the grace of God, and through all that fear and uncertainty, we finally got in the building, signed the lease, got the key, had our first service. It was amazing. And then the next day, our landlord at the house we were living at said she was going to sell, and we weren't ready for that. She wasn't planning on it. That was scary. And I could go on and on about how the obedience to God in our lives has often been pretty scary, pretty uncertain, pretty risky. But I'll say this, God has never left us out to dry. God has never left us alone. God has never failed me. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Isaiah 55, 8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God often calls us to things that might freak us out a little bit. Is God asking you to pick up something that scares you? Maybe a step of faith, maybe into a new ministry. I'm going to say this. Some of you in the room today, it would not be something crazy to say that God wants some of you to go into ministry, to work in a church. And I'm not even saying this church, I'm saying in church in general. That's not crazy to say. That was me. I was just like you. I was just a kid in church. What does God want you to do? What is he calling? This step of faith that freaks you out. You know God has been gently, lovingly pressing on your heart about something, a big step of faith, and it freaks you out. So what we do is we try to ignore it. We try to stay busy so we don't think about it. What is God calling you to do? Maybe it's a conversation with a friend or a family member about God. And you're like, yeah, but what if, like Moses, what if they don't listen to me? What if they think I'm crazy? What if they call me a loony? I don't want them to be offended. What is God calling you to do that freaks you out? A calling on your life, a decision that you've been delaying. Maybe regarding your marriage or your kids, making some positive adjustments in your life. And you're like, yeah, but if I do that, this might happen, that might happen. What is God calling you to do? Obedience doesn't mean fear disappears. It just means that faith moves anyway. I'll tell you, week by week sometimes over the last 6 years at this church, there have been scary weeks that maybe only my wife knows, that I'm stressed about the state of our church, whether it's the building and the finances, or even you, who I love and care about, and I'm called to pastor. I get to be your pastor, and what a joy and privilege that is, and also what a burden I carry because I care about you and your lives and your future. But obedience doesn't mean that fear disappears. It just means that faith moves anyway. We see the next verses, verse 6. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom, into here. And he put his hand into his bosom. When he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Number two is this: sometimes obeying God hurts. Sometimes obeying God hurts. Yes, he put his hand, we see in verse 7, he put his hand back into there again, and he pulled it out and it was healed. But leprosy meant, in those times, isolation and shame and loss and death soon. Leprosy was no, it's not a joke now, but it was no joke then. It was a big deal. They were cast away out of the town. And for a moment, Moses felt the cost of obedience. His hand, he took it back out and realized it was leprous. He felt the cost of obedience. Yes, God healed him, but the pain that he felt even for that moment was real, even if it was temporary. Following God, obeying God, may cost you some comfort in your life. It may cost you relationships. It may cost you even sometimes your reputation. Plans that you thought were secure. When you obey God, things start to change and it might hurt. Sometimes obedience hurts before it heals. Again, this message is not a I hope you understand, this message is not a message that, you know, I'm trying to scare you out of obeying God. Because I'm here to tell you, I have tried my best by God's grace to live in obedience to his call in my life. And I have detoured often, and I'm far, far, far from perfect. But I have seen the pain of obedience. I've seen the first point that we talked about scariness of it, the fear of it. Yes, I've seen it, but it's always been worth it. I love my life, Maria. I love it. With all the ups and downs. The fact that God has allowed me to meet you and to be able to pastor all of you, and he's brought you to our church, it's so exciting. But that doesn't mean that life is easy and that life sometimes doesn't hurt. We've all experienced in one way or another the pain of obedience. Plans that we thought were secure, we've tried to map out our life to make sure everything comes into place and everything works out well. And when we obey God and make some adjustments for God, things start to change. John 12, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it." Jesus said this. "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." And Jesus is saying, whatever happens in my life, the good, the bad, the ugly, it's all for his glory. Psalm 34:19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." We have to get back as Christians. And we could spend hours talking about Christians of yesteryear, centuries ago, that put their lives on the line for the gospel. And not only put it on the line, lost their lives for the gospel. Look up Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you'll see story after story from back hundreds of years ago, all over the world, people that believed the gospel so much that when people said, "You either recant that Jesus is the Savior, or we're going to literally burn you at the stake in front of everybody." And they refused. Sometimes obedience hurts. Ask those guys. And for us, when we have to make a minor adjustment to our schedule to be at church or to get up early to read our Bibles, we think it's the end of the world and it's so difficult. And there are people all over the world throughout the years that have literally given their lives for this book, that have died for the cause of Christ. Not caring about the cost of their obedience, just choosing to follow Christ, to follow God, to not deny him, no, but to accept him and to preach him and to share him, no matter the cost, and they lost their lives for it. Right now, we are not called to do that at this stage in our lives, by God's grace, the freedom to worship. Yet, when God calls us to obey in a much smaller scale way, we fight against it. We find every excuse to do what we want to do to stay comfortable. And I promise you, the blessings of God come to all, even if we don't deserve, when none of us deserve it. But I promise you, those who choose to obey God, even when it hurts, experience peace and joy and blessing like you wouldn't believe. Sometimes obeying God hurts. What have you lost or fear losing by obeying God? What are you grieving because you chose faithfulness? Listen, God never wastes the pain of obedience. What he allows to hurt, he also has the power to heal and use. In this church planting journey for my family, there have been hurts, there have been pains, there have been people that have come and gone. There has been difficulty and challenge along the journey, but God has taught me so much. I'll say this, God has taught us more through the trials and the pain than through the easy days. The easy days were a little bit more comfortable. But he taught us more and grew us more in the hard times, in the pain. When all we could do was look to him. When all we could do was rest in his grace. Those were the lessons that were learned. And lastly is this, verse 8. And it shall come to pass if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And if it shall come to pass if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. He said, if they don't get this, if they don't understand this, if this doesn't make sense to them, he's like, then you need to take the water from the Nile River and pour it on the ground. It'll turn to blood. And number three is this. Sometimes obeying God won't make sense to others. The Nile River was Egypt's source of life and wealth and stability and identity even. They worshipped it. The people in Egypt, the Egyptians, worshipped their false gods. So pouring it out in the ground and watching it turn to blood made no sense to these, would make no sense to these Egyptians. And we see it later in Exodus when they have the 10 plagues, when Pharaoh won't listen. One of the plagues is that the river turns to blood. Made no sense culturally or logically, but obedience, listen, obedience is never about public approval. We live in a culture that values self-promotion and questions biblical truth, and often, unfortunately, dismisses faith as outdated. Your obedience to God, especially in a small town like Cape Cod, when everybody knows everybody, you can't walk two steps without someone knowing where you're at. I've learned that. It's crazy how everybody's connected in some way to somebody else. It's wild. And your obedience to God and his calling in your life may look foolish to those who've known you your whole lives. But 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Your obedience may look foolish to a lost world, to those who don't know God, to those who don't care about God. And it may not make sense to them, but Galatians 1:10 says, Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. It's not about everybody else approving you and applauding your decisions for God. No, my obedience to God is about me and him. Who in your life doesn't understand your obedience, or who thinks your faith is a little extreme, or who questions, why don't you just do what we're all doing? Why don't you do what everybody else is doing? You don't got to go that crazy. You are not, listen, you are not called to be understood. You are called to be faithful. Hear that and believe it this morning. You are not called to be understood by all your coworkers and even maybe your family that doesn't know God. You are called to be faithful. When we told people we were going to Cape Cod to plant a church, people thought we were crazy. People sometimes, they don't think before they speak. Oh, we're going to Cape Cod to plant a church. Cape Cod? Where are you going to live? I'm like, hey, thanks for the show of support when back 6 years ago. But God was with Moses, and God is with us, and God is with you. And just because it doesn't make sense to other people, your obedience to God, who cares? Obey God. Do what God wants you to do. Before Moses ever stood before Pharaoh, God reminded him that obedience may be scary, it might hurt, it may be misunderstood, but God was showing him that he would be with him every step of the way. Exodus 3:12, he said, certainly I will be with thee. He said that the chapter, certainly I will be with thee. And what did Jesus say to us? What did Jesus say at the end of his, in Matthew 20, at the end of Matthew, and we see it in a couple different books in the New Testament when Jesus dies and rises again and he ascends, he says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God is with you. You know what's sad about this story is Moses, we don't read on, we're not reading on today, but as you read on chapter 4, Moses still puts up a fight, even after all those signs. Even after all things God said, Moses still says, yeah, but I'm not a good speaker. You got to choose somebody else. And we see God finally gets fed up and says, fine, your brother Aaron's going to go with you. He's going to speak for you. It shows God's patience and grace with us. But we got to stop making excuses for why we can't do what God's calling us to do. We have got to stop making excuses for not doing what God calls us to do. Whether it's just something as simple as taking time each day to read His Word and let it speak to us. Even if it's as simple as just taking a moment each day to pray and talk to God, we got to stop making excuses for the small. And if God's calling you to do something big, maybe God's calling you to make a change in your life. Maybe God's calling you to freedom. Maybe you're battling inner addiction or secret addiction no one knows about, and God has been pushing you towards freedom, and you just keep saying, yeah, but then if I tell everybody, if I come clean, my reputation this, my... I'm telling you, from personal experience, trust God, obey God, and walk in freedom. Walk in freedom. Yes, your obedience to God to come clean from that addiction will hurt, and it is scary. But God is in it. Maybe God's calling you to take a step of faith even in mission. Maybe God's calling you to take a step of faith here at Coastline to be more involved, to be a help. I promise you, there are 1,001 things that we need help with here. Truth be told, I got to stop doing so much. I do, and it's my fault. It's not people want to help. I just like doing things. I like doing it. I guess I'm a control freak. But the truth is, God is calling some of you to take a step of faith in ministry. And there's probably a lot of things that I'll need to take a step of faith in obedience to God to let some things go. And we work together. And we walk through life together, obeying God, lifting Him up, lifting each other up. What is God calling you to do? The call may be hard, but the presence of God makes it worth it. And your kids will see parents that have chosen God over the things of this world. And your children will see a dad who has decided to follow God and put God first. And your children will see a mom or a grandkid will see a grandparent that has chosen to trust God and obey His call. We are examples. I want my boys, when I die one day, I want boys to say, yeah, he loved Mom, and he loved Jesus. That's what I want. That's what I want. Even when it was hard, we just did what God wanted us to do. That's what Dad said. That's what I want. We need grace, and we need each other. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart.
please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.